Thank you, choir, and Nancy, for that beautiful song. Well done. It's good to hear the choir again, and after all this time, you're still sounding great. We appreciate it. Take your Bibles this morning as we look in the book of James. I don't know how many of you read the book of James, how often. The book of James is a good book to read. It tells us all the things that's wrong with us. James, he kind of gets inside our lives and lets us know that we need to shape up. And this morning he's telling us that all good things come from God. Before that, though, he says don't be deceived by the world. Don't be deceived by the things that will distract you and lead you away from God. But we do know that all good things come from the Heavenly Father. He has all the resources. He's had them from the very beginning, and he will always have those to the very end, into eternity. And we do not even can comprehend all the good that he has in store for those, the Bible says, who love him and truly love him and seek his will. So follow along with me as I read chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. There's only three verses this morning that I'll be reading, and then I will explain those later on in our message this morning, which is very important for us to do, so we can examine the scriptures and so we will know exactly how to apply these to our own lives as we live them out each day. So beginning with verse 16, James says, "Do not be deceived." And he said, "My beloved brethren." So he's talking about beloved brethren. He's talking about the church, the Christians. And anyone else that hears this, they are to take heed as well and accept Christ as their Savior and become a brethren of the Lord. And then verse 17, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift." So James is saying every gift is perfect from God. It is. You know, we think we get good gifts and so forth. God gives gifts and they're perfect, James says, "is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." In verse 18, "in the exercise of his will," that means the fulfilling of his will, "he brought us forth by the word of truth." He spoke the word into being. He spoke this world into being. He spoke us into being through his voice, through his word, through his truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures, or you could say creation. So we are the first fruits, according to James, from the Heavenly Father. Now, as we look at what James is saying this morning, as you evaluate, as you look at people in this world today, a lot of people seem to have the idea, because God is good, that he should not allow his people to suffer or be tempted. Well, we are, all of those things will happen in our lives. We will suffer in some way, and we will be tempted. And temptation doesn't come from the Lord. He tests our faith, but he doesn't tempt us. Satan does the tempting and try to mislead us. So people forget that God wants his children to grow spiritually and experience new grace, new experiences and blessings of his grace. And one way They can do that as mature through the trials and temptations. So trials and temptations are not to make us weak, but make us stronger, make us more mature in our faith, more trusting to the Heavenly Father. Just like Paul, you know, he had the thorn in the flesh and he was suffering with that. And he prayed three times, "Lord, take this away from me and I can do greater things for you." He said, "No, you can do greater things if I leave it with you, because you'll be trusting in me and not yourself." So Paul grew spiritually through his trials and his temptations, and we can too. And we do that through faith and our trust that the Lord God Almighty is with us all the way. He didn't just stay with us part of the way, but he's with us to the end. So James reminds these believers that God gives only good gifts, and that good gifts come down from heaven. So the scriptures also say that God is light. He is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he begot us through his word. And we are the first fruits of his creations. And what I would say to that, we are that sample of what is to follow at the coming of Christ. And Paul talks about that also in Romans 8:23. So it gives us a highlight of what James is talking about in the things to come, and even at the second coming of Christ. So let's look at the human good that comes from our Heavenly Father, the human good things that come from the Father. And first thing we want to look at, as James says in verse 16, is that we need to be aware of the deadly deception that's within this world, and Satan is always behind it. He's behind everything that is bad or wrong in this world. And we need to be aware of that, and James makes us aware of that here in verse 16. Verse 16, it calls us to become aware of worldly deception when it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." So, what does this mean? What does this mean by what James is saying, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren"? Well, it's a warning. It's a reference. What immediately precedes what is to follow. Okay, first of all, let's look at what this affirmation or this reference is referring to. And it refers to the temptation, the deception that is under or in this world today. Now, we are in the world, but we're not of this world. So James is warning against the not recognizing sin and excusing ourselves from the responsibility of it. He said, you know, you're going to sin, and we can't make excuses for that. And we need to take responsibility. And when we take responsibility for sin or giving in to deception or temptation, then we need to take it to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know, I made a mistake." Well, we call it mistakes, but I sinned. And James, he saw that going on in his time as well. So he was warning the church that they was being deceived, and it was self-deception. And he was saying, if you know the word, if you read the word, and you have faith in God, then he will help you through this. And the Bible also tells us that we will not be tempted further than we, that God will give us a way of escape. So if we're looking for a way of escape, now if you get lost in the woods, what do? You look for a way out, right? You keep looking. And you don't want to go in circles, right? So you got to look for a way of escape. So in temptation or trials and things like that, you look for a way. And God gives you that direction. He gives you a way out, and so that you won't continue in that path. So James tells us that there's a warning about this, and we need to be careful about it. So he tells us not to be deceived, which also points to the next two verses I'll be sharing with you in a few minutes. And in this context, they are understood to be warning against, I would say, prideful belief that good things come from us instead of God. It doesn't come from us. And we give gifts, right? But the good and perfect gifts from above come from God. Now, God is the only one that can give us the inner soul, what our inner soul truly needs, okay? You know, we're always seeking things that give us joy, but only the joy of the Lord is the only joy that is perfect, that is good from heaven. And He is the only source of good and the source of all good things. Now, it's good to know God's Word, okay? It's good to know God's Word. And it's easier to recognize a counterfeit when you are familiar with the real thing. So the real thing is God's Word. The counterfeit is something that, you know, that leads you away from God's Word, or lead you in a direction that is not healthy and spiritually fit for the Christian. So James is warning us and telling us and heeding earnestly. And James is one that spent a lot of time with Jesus as a disciple and as an apostle. So he learned from Jesus and he took it to heart. And now he's reinforcing what he knew and what he experienced in as being a disciple and an apostle, and the things that he experienced and the things that he wanted to pass on along to the readers. And that's why God appointed these men to write what they wrote, so that people will not be deceived in this world. So the deception started back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They were deceived. Well, Eve was deceived, and Adam, you know, he took freely of the fruit. But God is one that told Adam what not to do. Do not eat of the fruit. And Adam told Eve. And then the Satan came to Eve because he knew she didn't get it firsthand. She got it from Adam, and thought, well, that's a good way, that's a good place to start. And then the blame, the excuses and everything started from there. And God said, no, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And it won't work for us either. And that's what James said. Please don't excuse yourself of sin. Take responsibility. And we all want to be sincere in our faith and in our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and take responsibility for our own life. And in this world today, everybody wants to blame somebody else for their own actions that they take, or make bad decisions that they make often. So now let's look at the second part of this. We see that God is the giver of all good things in verse 17. And this is something we should recognize each day. You know, count your blessings of what God does for you each day. And even through your suffering and trials and temptation, still thank God that He is going to get you through that. You know, you've heard this saying, this too will pass. And it normally does. Sometimes it doesn't. It's not instantly or immediately, but it does pass. And when we trust in the Lord more, we won't even recognize how difficult it is as we are leaning upon Him and finding the peace and the comfort and the joy of leaning on Jesus. We often sing that song, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. So our difficulties and trials and everything won't be so, seem so difficult if we are trusting on the source of the giver of the good things, the perfect gifts, which is Jesus Christ. So, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that Satan, he is the tempter. Even in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the verses before that, says that Jesus said this about Satan, that he is a liar, there's no truth in him, and he is a father of all lies. And so, I know that as the disciples and the apostles, as they wrote this word, these words, it brought them to mind all of the things that they experienced with Jesus and all the things that they read from the Old Testament, and even the Ten Commandments was fresh in their mind, and it helped them to be able to realize that the tempter was Satan. And as I preached a message from Ezekiel a few months ago on Satan and the Lucifer, how he fell and why he did, that tells us that he will never give up on trying to tempt or cause hardship in our lives. So in verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no change and shadow of variation. Now again, the tempter is Satan, and he tries to get us to doubt either God's goodness or the fact that all good things come from him. Now, when we're going through trials and temptations, well, we don't see any good in that. But we can see the good if we trust in God and trust him with our lives. God is the source of all good things. No evil, no temptation comes from God, only the good things. So everything good in this world comes from God. If it comes from God, it has to be good. It has to be good. Even if it doesn't seem good at the time, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, like Paul and the thorns in the flesh that buffeted him, he still triumphed in his life. So God is the giver of all good things, and we need to unpack the Word of God and open it up and read it and study it. And that way we won't be caught off guard when we are tempted and the trials come our way. And then we will realize that God is the giver of all good things and perfect in all ways. Now, James also reminds us about every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Heavenly Father of lights. The verse 17 I just read. And the reason I wanted to emphasize this again, God not only created all physical light, he is a source of moral, intellectual, and spiritual lights also. Because in the Gospel of John, he wrote in John, first chapter, ninth verse, saying, was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. Now, he's talking about a variation of things right here. God the Father, he is the light. Jesus Christ came in. He was the true light. And the Word of God sheds the light of the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you see the combination of the triune working on our behalf at all times, showing us the good things that are to come. And nothing can interrupt the flow of God's goodness or, as verse 17, cast a shadow on the lights of God. So another description, as I looked at this verse 17, is that God is that he does not undo or undergo any shifting shadow or shade of variation. There's no shifting or variation in what he does. You see, God never changes. He's the same today, and he will be the same throughout eternity. He never changes. So, and that's why I think the character of God is very important, because the Bible says that we are made in his image. So if we're made in his image, that means we have his character. That means the spiritual character, the makeup of who God is, the holiness and the righteousness and all of the good things. So he has all the good things for us to behold, the resources and everything. And that's why when he created man, he says it is good, because he made us in his image. Now, our physical image is not, but it's the character that God wants us to pursue in our life. It's his desire to become just like him in our righteousness and our holiness and our trust and our faith in him as we walk with him. You see, that makes all the world in a difference. See, and then our character will match his. That's what the Bible is saying. That's what John is saying. God's character is always constant, true, unchanging, reliable, good, and faithful. And to that I say, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. He's perfect. And he's moving us in that direction. But we must stay in the Word. We must stay connected with him. We must abide in him. And then we will see our life progressing in that direction. That's his desire. Okay, finally, the giver of all great gifts. I don't want to leave that out this morning. So let's go back and read that verse again. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. And I love that word of truth. That speaks variations of a lot of things in our life, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures or creation. So everybody likes fruit, right? Fresh fruit. It's delicious. It's good. And see, he wants, and we are called his first fruits, which is good. And as we look at this, verse 18 looks into the new birth. That's what that's talking about, the new birth in Jesus Christ, our salvation. So that makes us the first fruit of his kingdom. So, and God has given us that through Jesus Christ. And to kind of paraphrase this verse 18, looking at and trying to interpret and see what James is wanting us to really know about this, I think he is saying, having willed it, you know, our salvation, the new birth, he gave us birth by the word of truth. Okay, how did he do that? As Romans 3:17 says, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. So that's how we get it. That's how we heard it. And that's how we received it, through Jesus Christ. So, and then the word of truth, intending for us to be the certain first fruits of his creatures. So that's the good things. That's the giver of the good, perfect gifts. See, salvation is a gift to us, and it is one that will never be taken away from us. Whatever God gives us, you know, it's ours through eternity. And salvation is an eternal gift. And each day when I think about that, I say, thank you, Lord. I'm thanking him every day for something. Every time I lose something, I find it, I say, thank you, Lord. And I thank him ahead of events of things sometimes, because I never know what I'm going to be doing or what's going to happen. So, Lord, you know, I thank you in advance with the expectations of things that you're going to do in my life. I don't know what's coming, that you're going to get me through that. And he's gotten me through a lot of things in this life. Right, Brenda? A lot of things. And all of us, he's gotten us through a lot of things. And he will continue to get us through a lot of things in this world. And even when they're tragic things and so forth like that. And, you know, only God knows the purpose and plan of each one of our lives. But we can still trust him with our lives and not have to worry about the circumstances in this world in our life, because we know that he's in control. That's the good thing. That's the good gift. So, first of all, after I looking at this passage of scripture here, the gift of the new birth, which is a supreme gift to mankind. And in verse 18, that's just what I shared with you there. But there's three things declared about the supreme gift of the new birth. And the first one that I can think of, coming from verse 18 here, is God's will, greatness of all the gifts to us, the gift of new birth in Jesus Christ. Now that is a very important ingredient for the Christian, knowing where our salvation came from. So God will does not give birth to temptation, but to regeneration. Then secondly, God will the means which brings new birth into effect. Once we accept Jesus Christ, it goes into effect. Once we accept Christ, we immediately receive the gift of salvation of the Holy Spirit to take up residence in our life and dwells in our life. And that's the word of truth. It's a means that God uses to give the supreme gift of being born again into the kingdom of God from the Heavenly Father. See, the word of truth brings about his will of changing us into his likeness, as I expressed a while ago. And again, that faith and that trust in the word of truth is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. Romans 10:17. All right, thirdly and lastly, we see in this verse that James is talking about, is the new birth by the word of truth produces the first fruit among all believers in Jesus Christ. So, according to this verse, believers are the first fruit, the earthly product of God's new creation. And we share God's nature, and this nature must be fed on the Word of God daily. I cannot emphasize that any more, that we need to read God's Word. We need to nurture ourselves. Like Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, that we are to nurture our children and bring them up in the Word of God, so that they too may follow in our footsteps in the path of Christ Jesus. So this morning, as we close, looking at the conclusion here, and there's always a solution. The solution for temptation is found in a close relationship with Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, that is continuous with his Word. Reading the Word of God. So you and I must rest in the unchangeable Lord of light and relying on his life-giving Word of truth. And Ephesians chapter 1:13 tells us that. Paul tells us that. He also tells us about that in Colossians 1:5. And then Paul goes on and is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, how that our life changes comes through the word of truth, abiding in the word. So the next time that you are in a trial or you're being tempted, meditate upon God's goodness. Meditate upon it. And you will see that he will lead you through the trials and provide strength in your temptations and trials. That's what I always pray for. Strength. Lord, give me strength. You know, not patience. Just give me strength to get through this. Give me strength for the task. May I be strong. May I be courageous. And I'm trusting in you. And he always comes through. So, my final word this morning would be, trust him in any and every circumstance because he's always faithful. He's always faithful. We may not be always faithful. I mean, we strive to do, but being human and then our weaknesses and so forth, God always provides mercy and grace at the right time for that. But we can go to the source, the main source, a Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, because he's always faithful. We can always trust him with everything, everything. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the message this morning that we read from James. Just these three verses gives us new insights of how that we need to be careful about deception within this world and where it comes from, and trust you, the true giver of gifts, the giver of everything perfect in our lives. Lord, whatever your will is for each one of us today, Lord, may we look up. May we always look up to you. Keep our focus directly in your direction. So we might hear from heaven everything that we need to be doing in our lives that will keep us spiritually fit, unchangeable, because you're unchangeable. Lord, our lives can change and be more like you as we read your word and as we pray and listen to the Holy Spirit which lives within us, so that we will make good and right decisions, and then we will become like your image. And we can. We just must persevere and look to you, who is faithful in all things. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our closing song is "Tis So True."